Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you guys for tuning in to to Radio Free Redoubt here on 96.5 FM and AM 630 if you're listening on our terrestrial stations out of Spokane. And those of you listening to the live stream and the recorded podcast next week, this coming week, God bless all of you, especially those of you outside the wire in occupied territory. I want to remind you to put on your calendars for next week. Last weekend was a great expo, and next week is another great expo, the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Liberty. We've got that to look forward to, and look forward to meeting all of you who were not able to make it to the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. I'll be talking on communications, emergency communications. More kind of advanced beyond the introduction to emergency communications. And then I will also be talking about computer security, anonymity, encryption, and things like that to keep you safe out there in a world where we're otherwise very vulnerable, our privacy, our information, and even to help build databases about our movements and predictability patterns and associations and mapping the human terrain, as it's called, trying to pin all the dots of everybody that you or correspond with and things that you visit on the web, on the internet, and how to minimize that kind of darknet type stuff. So I'll be talking about that, and we will also have an Amron booth there at the expo with emergency communications being demonstrated. And looks like we're going to have the new Amron mugs, the coffee mugs coming in. And I think the tumblers as well, the stainless steel tumblers, those have been in big demand. So anyway, next weekend, that's Saturday and Sunday, you can go to our website or our Facebook page, RadioFreeRedoubt.com, and click on that posting to get more information and directions. All right. Now, this week, something's been kind of placed on my heart. I keep stumbling across this. I'm going to talk about the Islamic situation. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's Venezuela. Now we've got Chinese and Russian troops, apparently, in Venezuela. Huge security, potential security, national security storm brewing there. The advance of communism and atheism, an anti-Christian spirit is just really sweeping. But I want to focus this week on Islam because of a few stories that really jumped out at me just in the last week. How bold we see them becoming, the demands that they're making. From the Jerusalem Post, here's one. This Ilhan Omar, this congresswoman in U.S. Congress, making a statement in a speech that Israel is the historical homeland of the Palestinians, going completely against long-standing, decades-old U.S. policy as far as supporting Israel. And in the CapitolHill.org, there's an article, Muslim Democrat demands the release of terrorists. Representative Ilhan Omar, once again, Democrat from Minnesota, advocated on Tuesday for releasing a senior member of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, which is designated by several nations as a terrorist organization. And she wrote on her Twitter account, she said, "I recently met with J.K. Badawi and the Freedom, whatever, to talk about Hoda Abdulmunemun, a political prisoner in Egypt." Omar tweeted from her official congressional Twitter account, saying, "I hope that Trump brings up her case in this meeting with the regime that has imprisoned her. We must work to hashtag free Hoda." Conservative Review's Jordan Schachel reported that Hoda Abdulmanim is a senior member of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood's women's affiliate, adding that she remains an influential figure and a senior leader in the Islamist outfit, and the campaign for her release has been a top priority item for Muslim Brotherhood aligned individuals, groups, and governments. Schachel noted that Omar, this congresswoman, has continued to show a preference for antagonistic U.S. adversaries and throwback Islamist leaders and groups, as opposed to U.S.-friendly Middle East nations and peaceful reform movements worldwide. She has become a regular on the CARE speaking circuit. And for those of you who don't know, CARE is the Council of American Islamic Relations. It's the terror-tied Islamic group, which has raised mountains of cash for her congressional campaign. And this other headline here: a Muslim state representative in Pennsylvania, the first female Muslim state representative elected in Pennsylvania, wants to ban highly offensive Christian prayer. A Muslim member of, and this is from the godfatherpolitics.com. There's multiple articles. I just picked one. A Muslim member of the Pennsylvania State House of Representatives is denouncing the Christian prayer that opened this week's House session, calling it highly offensive to her. Representative Movita Johnson-Harrell attacked her colleagues and demanded an apology for the prayer given as the day's activities began in the state capitol in Harrisburg, and she did all this on her very first day in office. Johnson-Harrell exploded over the prayers, saying it was highly offensive to me, my guests, and other members of the House. And she even called the Christian prayer a direct example of Islamophobia. There's a strong anti-Christian spirit, as you all know, in the United States. In the West, of course. But we're talking about this is happening in America. It's astounding to me that we have Muslim congressmen and women and in the state legislatures as well, that we've come to the point where in this war against the roots of our heritage, I mean, our heritage that made this country what it is essentially what started as a Christian nation, very clearly. And now we have Muslims in these positions making demands that we submit to their demands. So it reminded me of a video that I had played portions of the audio of, and I've talked about it, and I found the transcript from it. I can't find the video. I'm going to have to go back in the Radio Free Redoubt archives. I don't know how far back I'm going to have to go to find this video of a young woman. It sounds like she has a Middle Eastern accent narrating this. But I found essentially word for word the same information that's in the video. I found it at ChristianFaithInAmerica.com, which I will link in the highlights and resources posting. But I want to read this transcript to you because it really answers where this boldness, these demands are coming from, demanding that a Christian nation bow down to their demands, to the point of where they're considering in Pennsylvania censoring the representative, the woman, the state rep who opened in prayer in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, who is and was and is to come, who will return. I mean, she spoke like a Christian woman. This would only be offensive to people who are at war against Christianity. And now they're talking about censoring her for her insensitive prayer. And essentially kowtowing to the demands of an Islamist woman who made her way into that state legislature. And at its very core, Islam is at war against, all unbelievers. They are the nation of peace. And to achieve peace, they must conquer the world. They must force the entire world to bend its knee to Islam so there can be world peace. That's their idea of a religion of peace. So I'm going to read this transcript from you to you. And the guy starts with an article in this particular piece at Christian Faith in America, talking about a pastor who was, they were trying to spread the gospel. I believe it was in Dearborn, Michigan, and the hostility that came against them. And even the police were saying, well, you're instigating these people because you're spreading the gospel. And, you know, they're all Muslims around here. And so you're causing this. You're instigating this. So he says, you know, we forget the nature of the enemy we face, this cancer that is growing worldwide, including right here at home. And then it goes into the transcript. Islam explained in layman's terms is what the title of this article is. Now, this is adapted from Dr. Peter Hammond's book titled Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam, The Historical Roots and Contemporary Threat. And it starts off just like the video did that I had played the audio portions from a couple of years ago and a couple of times, different episodes. I'll try to find that again. If any of you find that video, let me know. That was really good. It was really enlightening. Okay, so Islam is not a religion, nor is it a cult. In its fullest form, it is a complete, total, 100% system of life. Islam has religious, legal, political, economic, social, and military components. The religious component is a beard for all the other components. Islamization begins when there are sufficient Muslims in a country to agitate for their religious privileges. When politically correct, tolerant, and culturally diverse societies agree to Muslim demands for their religious privileges, some of the other components tend to creep in as well. Here is how it works. As long as the Muslim population remains around or under 2% in any given country, they will be, for the most part, regarded as a peace-loving minority and not as a threat to other citizens. This is the case in the United States, where Muslims are 0.6%, Australia, where they're 1.5%, Canada, 1.9%, China, 1.8%, Italy, 1.5%, and in Norway, the Muslims make up 1.8%. At 2% to 5%, they begin to proselytize from other ethnic minorities and disaffected groups, often with major recruiting from the jails and among street gangs. This is happening in Denmark, Germany, United Kingdom, Spain, and Thailand, where the numbers are respectively 2%, 3.7%, 2.7%, 4% in Spain, and in Thailand, 4.6%. Now it progresses from 5% on, when they make up 5% or more of the population. They exercise an inordinate influence in proportion to their percentage of the population. For example, they will push for the introduction of halal, that means clean by Islamic standards, food, thereby securing food preparation jobs for Muslims. They will increase pressure on supermarket chains to feature halal on their shelves, along with threats for failure to comply. Check your meat section and see if it is halal compliant. You're starting to see that in more and more of our grocery stores with a label, just like you would see kosher. Well, you're starting to see halal. This is occurring right now in France, where they have a Muslim population of 8%, and in the Philippines at 5%, Sweden 5%, Switzerland 4.3%, the Netherlands 5.5%, and Trinidad and Tobago. The Muslims make up 5.8%. At this point, they will work to get the ruling government to allow them to rule themselves within their ghettos under Sharia law, the Islamic law. And make no mistake about it, their intent is to displace the U.S. Constitution or any of the organic law of the Western countries. But in the United States specifically, when polled, the majority of them wish to see Sharia law replace the Constitution. The ultimate goal of Islamists is to establish Sharia law over the entire world. Now, I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, we're going to talk about what starts to happen when they approach the 10% of the population mark, and so on. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and we'll be back in just a moment. I want to thank Works Holsters for sponsoring this segment. That's W-E-R-K-Z, as in Zulu. Works.com for your custom holster, Kydex holster, and magazine carrier needs, including a line of Liberty State flag or Liberty State seal line of holsters as well. And the proceeds from those go to support Liberty State. Stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Lenin put it this way. It does not matter if three-quarters of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of The Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com and click on the Alerts USA banner. Back with segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host. Thank you guys for sticking around. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Riverfront Suites down in the sleepy little town of St. Mary's, Idaho. It's Riverfront Suites, fully furnished. They're located right there on the St. Joe River. That's about an hour south of Coeur d'Alene, so plan your weekend getaway. RiverfrontSuites.com to learn more. You don't let them call you Islamophobes. You know, we all know, we've talked about it before. A phobia is an irrational fear. Now, identifying or paying attention to what Islamists are saying they're going to do and say, we don't want to have our heads cut off for refusing to comply with Islam or Sharia law or to convert by force, that is not Islamophobia. All right. That is calling things out for what they are and standing against it, saying, oh, that's not something we want to comply with and we won't put up with. It's the Christophobes who are the real problem. Those who are afraid, have an irrational fear of Christ or Christians. And nowhere in the Christian faith does it say to compel someone by force to convert to Christianity or smote them with the sword and kill them for not converting. That's Islam. And when we say, no, we don't want that in our culture because it's toxic and it's violent and it's hostile and it's disruptive. And not only that, we care about the souls of our children who they wish to convert. And so, no, that doesn't belong here. That's not Islamophobic. Right. There's no fear there. Like I said before, what I fear is shrugophobia. I have shrugophobia. Our fellow citizens just shrug at the threat and they don't care. That scares me. But that's not irrational either. That's something that should scare all of us. There is a massive orchestrated. We've seen the waves and waves and waves of third world cesspool countries dumping their refugees, migrants, as a planned, orchestrated, calculated way of undermining the Western European countries and their cultures. Well, when you look at the waves of these caravans that are coming up from South America, it is identical. When you look at the waves of them, now they're saying the border is just practically overwhelmed. Not so in Hungary. You know, Hungary, the Christian nation, by their constitution, they and Poland, the Czech Republic are all saying, no, we're not going to participate in your hordes of migrants overwhelming our borders. Well, Hungary, the European redoubt, they've got a fence that they call a spectacular success. You won't hear about this in the regular news, the fake news. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow night because I think this is really cool, a model that we can look to. For those that are opposed to, I don't think anybody in this audience might be opposed to having a fence protecting your border, but I'll give you some examples of success that others aren't talking about. So let me continue on with this explanation of what happens when the Muslim threat, in layman's terms, essentially talking about as Muslims approach certain benchmarks in their population, as their representation by population within these cultures that they're effectively engaging al-hijra in, you know, cultural jihad, taking the country over by immigration. So when I left off, I was talking about, at this point, they will work to get the ruling governments to allow them to rule themselves within their ghettos. And this is what we see. No-go zones all across Europe. And even Muslims in the United States now, Dearborn, Michigan, and others in Minnesota, where they're saying, we've got our own laws, and you should be, you know, multicultural and respectful of our culture. And so the Constitution and your laws don't apply to us anymore. It's going to be Sharia law. We want to rule ourselves. Well, because they've raised so much in their population base, they even make demands that are disproportionate with their population. It's really interesting. But I'm going to continue on here. I think it's worth repeating, especially in light of just this week's headlines, where we have now Muslims in elected positions at state and federal levels that are making demands that we release someone who's in prison tied to terrorist organizations. So we're seeing the demands. We demand censorship of this offensive Christian prayer. So we need to know what we're up against. I think this is worth reminding. We essentially have Philistines, Amalekites, Perizzites, Hittites in our camp. When Muslims approach 10% of the population, they tend to increase lawlessness as a means of complaint about their conditions. In Paris, we're already seeing car burnings, and any non-Muslim action offends Islam and results in uprisings and threats, such as in Amsterdam with opposition to Muhammad cartoons and films about Islam. Such tensions are seen daily, particularly in Muslim sections in Guyana, where the Muslim population is 10%, India, where they're 13.4%, Israel, they make up 16%, in Kenya, 10%, and in Russia, 15%. After reaching 20%, nations can expect hair-triggering, rioting, jihad militia formations, sporadic killings, and burnings of Christian churches and Jewish synagogues, such as in Ethiopia, where the Muslim population is 32.8%. At 40%, nations experience widespread massacres, chronic terror attacks, and ongoing militia warfare, such as in Bosnia, Chad, and Lebanon, which are all at 40, 53.1, and 59.7, respectively. From 60%, nations experience unfettered persecution of non-believers of all religions, including non-conforming Muslims, sporadic ethnic cleansing, genocide, use of Sharia law as a weapon, and jizya, the tax placed on infidels such as Albania, Malaysia, Qatar, and Sudan. And of course, after 80%, expect daily intimidation and violent jihad. A whole host of, you know, the typical offenders: Bangladesh, Egypt, Gaza, Indonesia, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Morocco, Pakistan, Palestine, Syria, Tajikistan, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. At 100%, we'll usher in the peace of Dar es Salaam, the Islamic House of Peace. There is supposed to be peace because everybody is a Muslim. The madrasas are the only schools, and the Quran is the only word, such as in Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Yemen. Unfortunately, peace is never achieved, and as in these 100% states, the most radical Muslims intimidate and spew hatred and satisfy their bloodlust by killing less radical Muslims for a variety of reasons. And then this goes on and on. And running out of time here, I just have about a minute left. So it's estimated now, these statisticians that do demographic statistics estimate that right now there's 1.5 billion Muslims, making up about 22% of the world's population. Their birth rates dwarf the birth rates of Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, and all other believers. Muslims, by their estimations, will exceed 50% of the world's population by the end of this century. So in approximately 80 years, that's your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, the world they're going to be living in. And I don't say this stuff to instill this irrational fear in you. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. But we need to also have our eyes open to the reality of what's taking place in the world around us and double down on our efforts to get closer to the Lord than we ever have before, to hold our values and our traditions and our beliefs and hold the line and not compromise one bit. Join me tomorrow night, 8 p.m., RadioFreeRedoubt.com for our weekly podcast, and you guys have a blessed and safe rest of the weekend. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too.